A65. Number 4B.
All right. So, let's be aware that we saw in the first hour that science is the symbol of the 6 and 7,000 year period, but a symbol. And we must take it as a symbol. If we take science as reality itself, then we miss it again. Therefore, what these levels of science accomplish and want to do is to make those concessions to the human consciousness, not to the spiritual consciousness, to the human consciousness, that enables the human consciousness to clear itself of misconception in a better way than just through belief or through rituals as in the past, but through the means of science, because science can clarify or purify consciousness much better than any other method can do. But it's still a symbol. It's still not reality itself. So, in that way I could say, when we take science itself, which is what? That consciousness where the I am is conscious of itself as I am. When that is translated to the level of divine science, it is in order to reach the human consciousness better, because the human consciousness reasons according to operational laws. It reasons according from where does something come, what does happen, what is the effect. It reasons from cause to effect. It reasons according to a modus operandi. And that modus operandi has been presented through the Bible, through the four sides of the city, as Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. So these again are categories that are only necessary for us in order that we can better understand being itself, or that we can align ourselves much better with the I am that I am. Okay, we still go back again to divine science. So up to now we have established divine science that it has to do, say, with principle and idea as one, therefore taking in idea, but in its oneness, therefore showing the oneness of being. If it is a oneness, see, actually the ness, the ending ness, gives a sense of realm. The one doesn't give a sense of realm. If I talk about the one, but if I talk about the oneness, in it is included, can you hear, feel, you know, it's a spiritual feel now, that in a oneness you have at once the indication that there is many, that there is a lot, and that the lot is one. And therefore it gives through the manys, it gives a realm, it gives the whole, a realm, a whole field, a whole universe, but still being seen as oneness. Yes? So we have a realm sense. What else could we feel, how we could explain divine science? Yeah, Frank?
The oneness would be the all in all.
It would be the all, The all would be, so to say, science itself, but the moment it is in all, in the realm, it gives the sense of allness, yeah, of oneness, all in all. So the moment we think about the universe, and the universe being turned into one, that's universe, one, vertere, turning into one, the universe, we are already thinking on the level of divine science. Can you see that? The moment we are thinking about the universe, it's the question of the multitudinous of ideas being turned into one, into oneness. It's the all in all. See? If we would have a videotape, they could see what all in all is. It is that sense where I embrace, so to say, the whole universe. And you see, it's, that is different than science itself, which does like this. Huh? Just points to it, to me, huh? Back to me. It is going out into the whole, but including the all, the whole. So therefore, you would have a sense of wholeness, huh? The whole, the all in all. Yes? How else? Yes, Eleanor?
If you say that science itself is non-operational, could you say divine science is self-operational?
Exactly. Huh? Now, here it is self-operative. Huh? Yeah. It gives the self-operative, the self-organizing being. Huh? Again, it's showing you take everything in and everything is operational, but it, because it's one, it's self-operational. Self-organizing. Yeah. So at once, yes?
Is that all in all? The first all is capitalized.
Yeah.
And the second one is small.
Yes.
But Mrs. Eddy says that you can't put the greater into the smaller.
No, you can't put the greater into the smaller. Can you see how that she says that human language is inadequate, huh, to express reality? And that's what we have to see, that we speak in a language that is inexact, but somehow, if we have spiritual sense, we see the meaning of it. It means, therefore, that the all, see, that's why she puts hyphens in between them. If she would not put hyphens, it would even be wrong, more wrong, because then it would be in, it's the great putting the greater into the smaller. But in this way, she wants to bring out the all-embracing sense that the all, capital A, the all, huh, is actually including all. Huh? It doesn't mean, you see, it doesn't mean that the all is one entity and the little all, the little alls, huh, are the other identities, huh? And that the big identity all is in those little identities all. Huh? It, you know, it's interesting. The further down in the level we go, the clearer we can express it in human language. The higher we go in the levels, the more difficult it becomes for human language to express it. And here you see it on the level of divine science already very clearly, that somehow grammar and language isn't adequate. But they all help, as all symbols do. All right, another aspect of it is that no symbol is 100% adequate. We have to know that too. Therefore, all the nice stories, the parables and so on that Jesus gave, they all are only approximations to the spiritual. No symbol is exactly the same in value as reality, or it wouldn't be any more a symbol. It would be the reality itself. Therefore, we must see, that's perhaps what Jesus meant when he accused the Pharisees and the scribes, that they are constantly looking to the little dot on the eye, huh? And not the whole, that they are concerned with little, tiny little things. Whereas, and we must be aware of that too, that we don't weigh everything spiritual in the scale of human language. Human language is inadequate to express divine metaphysics. They are always approximation, and it's a good thing that they are approximation, because they train us to listen much more to the spiritual meaning of it than to the literal sense of it. And it trains us to do that. Now take for instance, the Bible. The Bible is absolutely inadequate in the way of language to express the signs of being. They have to use all kinds of symbols that are crude. Mountains, rivers, hills, sheep, camels, I don't know what, you know, legends, myths, and so on. Everything that is indefinite, history, tribal history, half-hidden Israelitish history, they have to take these crude symbols, and by implication and by approximation, they try to bring out the spiritual meaning of it. Today, with our language that is much more abstract, it is much easier, actually, to bring out the spiritual meaning than it was through the Bible. So we have to be aware that we don't constantly weigh little terms and expressions, especially. See, Mrs. Eddy says that very clearly, that we should not do these things. Now, I'm always impressed by the thousands of different interpretations that students of the English in the English countries give by taking a word, an English word, and dissect the English word, make a spiritual meaning out of it. It's hideous. If you take that word in another language, it doesn't do it. They never think of it, that they have an English language, and not a French, not Italian, or German, or Hebrew, nor anything like that. Don't make out of English terms spiritual meanings. She said the only exception she made, and she apologizes for it, is Adam. And she says right away, you shouldn't do that with other words. You shouldn't do that. And too much is being done by that. All being ignorant that God doesn't speak in English. He speaks in a spiritual language. And every human language is already a translated form. And sometimes Hebrew is much more adapted for spiritual teaching, sometimes Greek is more adapted to it, sometimes English is more adapted to it, sometimes even German, though you don't like to hear it, is very adapted to do it. Many languages are adapted here and there to bring out something more clearly. So, Mrs. Edith, I don't have it right on my fingertips how she says it, but if you look up there in the platform where she talks about Adam, she says you really shouldn't do that. As if she would say, I make now an exception because it perchance it gives that true sense, but the moment you translate it into French, it doesn't work anymore. So can you see the awful difficulty translators have when they have to translate the Bible or translate the textbook or anything? We must see that we get hold of the spiritual language. So here is a case, all in all, the wonderful sense. If we take it literally, it isn't true. But if we see the spiritual import, it gives a wonderful sense of divine science. The all, capital A, which is the all in the whole realm. It's the one and all in all the realm. And brings it out that way. As all in all. Yes. Okay, I think that's... We have got somehow the sense of divine science. Now let's go to absolute Christian science. When we come to the next two levels, absolute Christian science and Christian science, both have one common denominator as signs. They both are Christian. Huh? Yeah. And with that Christian, you already distinguish it from divine signs. Huh? So there is already in those terms divine and Christian, already pointed out the great difference between those categories. Christian always brings out that it has some kind of a saving aspect, so that now the saving aspect is brought out as well in absolute Christian science as in Christian science. So we have to see that that Christian has a saving sense, and as we know afterwards, that in absolute Christian science it's the prophylactic saving sense, and that in Christian science it is really the therapeutic saving sense, the healing sense. All right, let's take first absolute Christian science. What is the key tone of absolute Christian science? Which problems, which, on the problem, I always understand something positive, huh? Or which field of application covers absolute Christian science? Yes?
Relationship.
Yeah. Now you have to be more specific. Which kind of relationship, huh? In absolute Christian science?
Would be the relationship of ideas to ideas.
Of idea to idea, for instance. More fundamentally, the relationship of
principle
and idea. Huh? And actually through relationship of principle to idea, you have the interrelationship of idea to idea via principle. So you get the whole field of relationships. Can you see that this is different than the corresponding tone on divine science would be oneness, and not relationships? So absolute Christian science would come and take that oneness and analyze it clear and say, now, what makes the little all, which is a plural sense, what makes all those little alls to be a oneness? That which makes it a oneness are the relationships that binds them together into a oneness. So absolute Christian science is really that which explains those relationships. So that we have a oneness in relationships. Yeah. Further question. How otherwise could we define really absolute Christian science? Just to round it up, just to talk around it so that it gives a warm, round sense. Yes, Emma?
A consciousness of truth, a calculus of ideas. You're dealing with principle to idea and its relationship to principle. So you have a consciousness of truth, that calculus.
Okay. So from relationships of principle to the idea and idea to idea, we can say, well, these relationships then are constantly varying, and you can compute those relationships. So that you get here a calculus of relationship, a calculus of ideas. As Mr. Zeddy will call it, the divine infinite calculus, computing ideas, yes? Is that not so on the level of divine science?
Yes, but you're dealing with...
No, not yes.
Okay.
But what you want to say is, right?
It's really a matrix on the level of divine science.
You could say that, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
A matrix of spirituality on the level of divine science, and a calculus of ideas on the level of absolute Christian science.
Yes. On the level of divine science, where all is a oneness,
Yes.
You don't have to calculate, You only have to, when we have arithmetic, when do we calculate?
When you have to solve a problem.
When you have to solve a problem, yes. Yes. So, the point is that you use calculations when you have a specific aspect of the whole of arithmetic. Huh? So, say, if you compare it, you would say in divine science we have the signs of arithmetic. Huh? We have the signs of arithmetic. The oneness of arithmetic. There is only one arithmetic. And in that one arithmetic, there is only the 10 digits and the 4 ways of operation. That is it. Huh? But with that, you cannot yet... with that, you have not yet calculated. Huh? You only have learned your fundamental system. Huh? But then, really, what is interesting about arithmetic is that we have specific calculations that have to be made. The moment becomes specific. The moment is directed to one specific idea. And it is not directed to the all, but to the specific. Then you are thinking in the realm of absolute Christian science. And you can see that naturally this realm is one of the most common or most... that realm which is mostly the content of our thinking, of our spiritual activity, because we are all concerned about specific ideas, the specific solution of ideas, the specific answer to ideas, to a problem. It's all the specific. I would like to know about this and that and the other. You see, the moment we have this, then we are reasoning in the realm of absolute Christian science. It's the relationship of principle to specific ideas. Huh? Yeah. Could we bring out another characteristic aspects of absolute Christian science? Absolute Christian science is concerned with what further? Yes?
We have a relationship sense here, and also a creative sense.
Also a very creative sense, yes, because every calculation would be something new, huh? Yeah. So you have a calculus, a computation, creative sense, yes?
So I think we could say, what is it in relation to its own creation?
Absolutely. It is now saying, what is the relation of creator to creation? Huh? It's the relationship. In divine science, it was the creator including its own creation, because it's a realm sense. Huh? Yeah. If you have in divine science the realm sense, what then would it be, how would it be differ from absolute Christian science? Doesn't it have a realm sense? And if not, what kind of sense? Yeah, that's perhaps a bit a difficult question.
Sense?
Beg your pardon?
Triune sense?
No, not so much a triune sense. See, you have a directed sense. See, it's always directed in a specific direction. It's pointing, huh? A pointing sense. It says that principle brings out this specific idea, that specific idea. Principle solves this specific problem. Huh? Not so in absolute, not so in divine science. In divine science, it's always all-inclusive, so you cannot have specific ideas there, specific truths, specific solutions. Can you see how Jesus healed? He healed on the level of divine science, he healed on the level of absolute Christian science, he healed on the level of Christian science. But when he healed on the level of divine science, where it's not directed to specific, but where it is a realm, it is there where it says that Jesus healed the multitudes. See? The realm. He healed the realm. Whereas in other cases he healed a specific case, and perhaps even brought out the specific truth that is needed to heal that specific case. So you can easily see that that actually the method of treating and the method of healing is different on the level of divine science as it is on the level of absolute Christian science, and different then from the level of Christian science. So you cannot say, well, only Christian science, the level of Christian science, heals. You have healing on every level, but it's a different law and for a different purpose, with a different aim. Quite different. Just as we have said, a molecule, when it transforms itself to a cell, different laws are operating. Though the stuff is still an atom and electrons. But the moment you have different relationships, and a cell is just a different relationship of molecules, you get new laws, different laws, applicable only to this kind of field of application. So in absolute Christian science, you have that directed sense, that specifically directed sense. It's there where, as a student of arithmetic, you just don't go home with all your assignments and say, well, that's very easy. There is only one mathematics, there is only one arithmetic, and that arithmetic includes all in all. You wouldn't solve your problems. And yet, what you say is true. But in order to prove it, comes in that we have to sit down and do the calculations. So we have the calculus of ideas. Yes?
Max, would it be valid to say that on the level of divine science, since you're dealing with that oneness, that inclusion of principle and idea, that you're dealing with idea on the level of absolute Christian science, since you're dealing with the calculations, that
yes,
you're dealing with ideas?
Yes, yes. On the level of absolute Christian science, we really should say it's a relationship of principle to ideas, to all the very specific ideas. Yeah. Yeah. Whereas divine science, there the idea is one with principle. And so you have the singular, that you are seeing really that principle has an infinite idea. Yes.
And it can be broken up, so to speak.
Absolutely. And it can be broken up through to infinite ideas, specific and applied specifically. Yes. Okay, we make a break here.